that you are a merciful God, even in the midst of your judgment. You show love and kindness and mercy, and today's topic very much reminds us about the loving and merciful heart of God. We pray that thou may lead us into all truth and bless our time together. We pray this in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Salvation in the tribulation. We seldom think about God's gift of salvation during the tribulation time. Some of us may have some ideas about it, that there may be some people who may be saved, but this is a very important topic, very exciting topic, very enjoyable topic, and it is something which I always enjoy meditating, thinking, and talking about. Now, last week, we looked at the nature of the tribulation and the extent of the tribulation, and also the purpose of the tribulation, especially in relation to Israel, time of Jacob's trouble, then when God's judgment is poured out upon the world and upon the nations, and also specifically 11 times, that word earth dwellers, those who dwell upon the earth, is repeated as a technical term in the book of Revelation. And the earth dwellers are unbelievers who persist in their rebellion against God. And Revelation 3:10 reminds us that this will be a very specific time to test those who dwell upon the earth, those who have settled down upon the earth as their permanent home. It's also very important that in the Greek New Testament, for dwelling, two words are used. One is those who permanently dwell. That is, this world is my home. This is my treasure. You know, I don't want to live here. Katoikoi, that is the word for earth dwellers. But the other word is for sojourners and pilgrims. You know, what that word study is very beautiful, you know. For the word for those who dwell upon the earth, those who stay, those who dwell upon this earth, that word is never used for sojourners and pilgrims. Because for sojourners and pilgrims, the word has a transitoriness. There is an impermanence. They are not permanent here. They don't belong to the world in a way the earth dwellers belong. So it is very important that the Holy Spirit have specified the meanings of those things with special words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation in the tribulation. In my understanding, and in my personal conviction, the last one is personal conviction. There are four streams of the gospel in the tribulation. God will use four methods to save people during the tribulation time. And the first three ones are very evident. It is scriptural. And the fourth one is an assumption. It is a guesswork, but I believe it is an intelligent guesswork. The fourth one, the first one is the witness of the 144,000, which we will look in detail. The second one is the ministry of the two witnesses. The third one is the angelic proclamation of the gospel in Revelation chapter 14. These three are clearly mentioned in the book of Revelation. But the fourth one, it is an intelligent assumption that after the tribulation time, or after the rapture, what happens to all our library, all our books, and all our cassettes, and all our tapes, and all the sermons on YouTube and websites? What happens? It will be there, because this world will be inhabited by people, and people will still be using media and YouTube and Facebook, I believe, all those things. Life will be going on. as normal, even though the judgment of God will come upon the world immediately after the rapture. So there is definitely a possibility. I'm thinking about number four, Bibles, Christian literature, and sermons still available during the tribulation time. And I believe when the judgment of God falls upon this world, many people may think about, oh, we have heard about some of these things. We have heard about the Bible. We have heard about the book of Revelation. We have listened to messages on the book of Revelation and the tribulation and the judgment of God. And the Spirit of God may miraculously move the hearts of many people to the innumerable avenue of literature and resources left in the world through media and in the libraries, all the study Bibles, everything. And I'm sure many people will be exposed to the gospel through these resources, and many will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is a real possibility. And that is why that also is included in that. But before that, something which is very evident in the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks in detail about this, the first stream of the gospel. So there are four streams of the gospel available during the tribulation time. The first one is the 144,000 Jewish witnesses. Shall we turn to Revelation chapter 7? Now it will be very consoling for all of us and very encouraging for us to think that in spite of the terrible judgments that will fall upon this world during the tribulation time, it will be a very terrible time, awful time, horrible time immediately after the rapture. It is the time of distress and judgment that will fall upon the world. That is what we read in Revelation chapter 6 through 19 and in many other passages, even in the Old Testament. God is still at work in his grace and mercy during that time, and God will still save so many souls, innumerable people, before any human computation and calculation. Thousands and thousands of people will be saved. Now, so naturally a question may pop up in our mind, is God giving them a second chance? Now, when we usually think about a second chance for salvation, it is only applicable to people who have heard the gospel, those who have rejected the gospel, and those who have died, and those who have gone to their grave. For them, there is no further chance. So the second chance, as it is used, is not applicable to the people in the tribulation. It is only applicable to people who have heard the gospel, rejected the gospel, and who have gone to the other side of eternity. No more opportunity for them. Their destiny is sealed. But if you take chance and opportunity in the other way, did we all believe the gospel the first time we heard it? No. So how many chances we got? Several. Several. I got many chances, you know, many opportunities. So most of us, we did not accept the Lord just by hearing the gospel for the first time. It was actually after repeated rejection and rebellion that we embrace the grace of God. And God was merciful to us. In the same way, after the church is raptured, there are so many people, they might have heard the gospel before, but God will again prepare an opportunity for them to hear the gospel. So the people in the tribulation They haven't gone to eternity. They have passed from one stage of history to another stage of history. They have passed from the history, the dispensation of grace, to the dispensation of the tribulation. One scene of history to the other scene of history. Many will be saved during that time. Many will perish. Many will be killed. Many will follow the Antichrist. Many will be saved and also will become martyrs for the Lord. So don't be confused with the understanding of the second chance thing. God in his mercy is giving people opportunity again after the church age is over. But those who will be saved during the tribulation time, they will not be a part of the church, because the program of the church is inaugurated on the day of Pentecost, and it will be consummated on the day of the rapture. Now, who are these 144,000 people? Like we read in chapter 7, chapter 7 is an interlude, a parenthesis, because six seals have already been opened. The seventh seal is opened only in chapter 8. So from the very beginning of tribulation, tribulation begins with the seal judgments. And as each seal is opened, the intensity also increases. So in chapter 6, six seals are already opened, and there are cosmic disturbances and God's judgment already being poured out upon this earth. But then there is a sudden break, and in chapter 7, no seals are opened. The seventh seal is opened only in chapter 8. So in that parenthesis, God is accomplishing something. So in verse 2, we read, chapter 7, verse 2, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So a particular group of people, they are called the servants of God. So this angel is saying that God, in his sovereign will, plan, and purpose, a group of servants, a group of people called the servants of God, will be particularly identified, marked, and sealed, and protected, and preserved for an evangelistic purpose during this time. So, in verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And we read that from each tribe, 12,000 were sealed. Now, our post-tribulationalist friend, those who believe that church will pass through tribulation, they would see this as God protecting the church. You know, that God protecting God's people and the church, and the children of Israel is a symbolic usage for the church. That is a very foolish argument, because throughout the Bible, Israel is always Israel and church is always church. And the tribe of Israel can never be equated with the church. The tribe of Israel means it is the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is why the dispensationalists insist on the literal hermeneutic, the literal interpretation as and when possible. And the only other time when we will turn to symbolic interpretation is when the literal sense does not make any sense. So here, 144,000 from 12,000 from each tribe. Now, another interesting observation, the tribe of Dan is omitted here. Instead, we find the tribe of Joseph is included. Many of the church fathers believed that Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan, because Dan is the one who initiated for the idolatry in Israel, Dan and Ephraim. So the church fathers, many of them had a theory that that is the reason that the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. That is what they believed. There is no evidence in the Bible. So some of the old interpreters during the first 3 centuries, 4 centuries, the church fathers, some of their writings, this is the reason they have given, that the Antichrist will hail from the tribe of Dan, and that is why they are not mentioned. Probably that is not true. The reason Dan is omitted here, not mentioned here, we do not exactly know. But the real possibility is that Dan is the one who initiated idolatry in the midst of the children of Israel, which was a major stumbling block for their spiritual growth and their worship of the true and the living God. And that may be the reason that Dan is not mentioned here. Because in the book of Deuteronomy and in other places we read that God's curse and God's judgment rest upon those who have initiated idolatry among the people of God, and those who have encouraged idolatry, made Israel to sin. And that may be the reason, without being too dogmatic about it. So that is a conspicuous absence of Dan, we can see here. Now, this 144,000, a good way to understand and to appreciate their ministry is to see that they have been purchased, they have been prepared by God, they are protected, they are persistent, and they are pure. That's actually one of my sermon outline concerning the 144,000, because I see them as a model for discipleship. During dark days, I have given sermons on them with the title that Discipleship in Dark Days. And this is the outline I have used. So they have been purchased. So how can we say they have been purchased? Come with me to chapter 14, Revelation 14. And verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, they sang. No, the chapter begins in verse 1 with the 144,000 in verse 1. And the rest of the verses here are talking about the 144,000. Verse 3, they, that is the 144,000, sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Who were redeemed from the earth. Verse 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. They are saved. Redeemed, purchased, agarazo, the same word that is used for our redemption. They have been redeemed, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. In the beginning period of the tribulation days, how did the Lord save them? We do not know. No record about it. So it is unwise for us to go beyond what is written. God has miraculously saved them through the gospel. They have been redeemed, purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. So they have been redeemed. They have been purchased. They are a special possession. They are believers. They have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and as their Messiah. They are Israelites, so they have accepted him as their Messiah. And from each tribe, 12,000, they have been purchased. they have been prepared. Coming back to chapter 7, verses 3 and 4, they have been prepared, as we have read, that verse 4, and I heard the number of those who were sealed. Verse 3, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God. God has specially separated them, marked them, and sealed them. The seal sets them apart and prepares them for a special evangelistic mission. They are the missionaries during the tribulation times. They can be called the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen. And their ministry is the greatest evangelistic enterprise in the whole history of the world. So God has saved them and God has prepared them. That is how God uses even people today. You know, there are so many devotional, wonderful truths here. You know, God saves people and God prepares people to serve him. Now, sometimes we want to go through other methods of preparation, our own studies and academic studies. God can make it a blessing. But the most important thing is God preparing ourselves, you know, in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit, and through the word, and in the company of God's people, through trials and difficulties and through various experiences, God always prepares his people to serve him. And those who want to serve the Lord must be willing to go through that school of preparation. Sometimes it can be challenging and it can be difficult, and there is sacrifice involved, there is cost involved, there is labor involved, there is pain involved. There are so many things involved. That is how God prepares you. And that is how God prepares me. And that is a good picture of discipleship, because in chapter 14, we read that they are willing to go wherever the Lamb leads them. They follow the Lamb. The word following, that is the word for discipleship. So these people, they are not simply saved, they are committed disciples during the dark days of the world. They are willing to follow the Lamb and they are willing to pay the price for it. And God has prepared them for it. Now, they are persistent and prepared. Number three, they are protected. Because the angel himself tells in chapter 7, verse 3, that do not harm them, you know, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. We will look at a couple of more words, chapter 9 and verse 4, Revelation 9, 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, they will be harmed. They will be judged. And God's judgment will come upon them. But those who have God's seal on their foreheads, they are protected. They are preserved from the calamities of the tribulation time. So they are protected, as we know from other verses in the New Testament in relation to the sealing of the Holy Spirit and all. The seal definitely represents ownership, security, protection. So that is true of this group of believers also. Ownership of God, protection of God, preservation of God, their security and their protection, their physical protection and their spiritual protection from apostasy and spiritual defilement. God miraculously protects them. Now, people who have studied about the word seal and how the seal was used in the ancient Greco-Roman world, you know, one commentator has made an observation that the word used here for seal is also used in religious literature in the Greek language for devotees consecrated to a deity and that deity's service. So that this seal, this kind of seal, what we read here, there are similar references in Greek literature where the devotees of a special god or a goddess have been sealed because those people are the devotees of this particular god and they are consecrated themselves to serve God. So, and that is very true of this group of people. They have dedicated, committed, and they have consecrated themselves to serve this the only true and the living God. So they have been purchased, they have been prepared, they have been protected, and they have been persistent in their service and in their discipleship. Again, chapter 14, shall we turn there? Chapter 14. These are the ones who were not defiled with women. We will come to that later. For they are virgins or they are chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb. They persistently, steadfastly follow the Lamb. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb and the Shepherd. They follow him wherever he goes, wherever he leads. Brothers and sisters, that is the tremendous truth of discipleship. You know, take up your cross and follow me. And that is the same calling that has come to them. So they are persistent in their discipleship and in their service. They follow the Lamb. And they follow the Lamb in the most dire circumstances in their life. In those terrible days of apostasy and judgment and calamities, they are willing to follow the Lord. So they are persistent. The next part, they are pure. Revelation 14:4, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are parthenos, virgin, parthenoi, virgins in the plural. Now, New American Standard has translated it as chaste because it doesn't mean that they are all women. There are some interpreters, you know, say, oh, they are all women. You know, all of them are ladies because they are virgins. That is not the idea. Now, the 144,000, are they all men or women? There are differences of opinion. The majority interpreters believe they are all men because in the ancient Israel, as we read in the Old Testament, when a group of people are separated for a special mission or a special service, it is always men. Whether it is in the army or as tribal leaders or as elders or for special service, they are all men. So, even though it is not specified here, on that basis, according to the tradition among the Jewish people, most probably they all might have will be men. But even if sisters, some of those sisters are also included in that, praise the Lord. You know, we cannot be very dogmatic about that. Now, there are differing interpretations about this particular phrase. They are not defiled with women. Two interpretations. That means they are all men. And these men, they are celibates. And they are not married. As we read in, they have the gift of celibacy, like in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And they have devoted themselves to serve the Lord more earnestly without any distraction. So that is the meaning of it, as many interpreters believe. They take it in its face value. That is why New American Standard, instead of virgin, they are chaste. So that can be applied to men also. You know, so that is one view. Another view is that in many places in the Bible, and also in the book of Revelation, adultery is compared to spiritual adultery, that is apostasy, and also spiritual defilement. So it is a figurative expression that these people are not spiritually defiled by false doctrines, by apostasy, or by renunciation of their faith. Because throughout the Bible, even in the book of Revelation, we have several references to spiritual adultery and spiritual adultery and defilement, spiritual defilement called adultery. So that is another view. According to your conviction, you can select. You know, there are two interpretations, very strong interpretations, interpretations on both sides. My own personal leaning is more towards the first view, that they are celibate men, that they have forfeited the privilege of getting married, and they have embraced a celibate life so that they can serve the Lord. Or they may be, the word here, the expression here, that they are not defiled with women, may be just a figurative expression of spiritually they are not defiled and they are separated. But whatever it is, it does not affect the core understanding about the 144,000 and their ministry. The next one, they are also preachers. So the P outline, if you want to preach or to teach on discipleship, this outline can be of help, and it is free of charge too. Preachers, and that is, they are very much committed to preaching the gospel, the greatest evangelist the world has ever seen. The innumerable crowd of believers saved by their ministry. So the second group in chapter 7, this is where many people have a lot of confusion, because in Revelation 7, 1 to 8, we have multitudes of people, 144,000. Who are they? They are Jewish people. They are Israelites, specially separated by God to be the evangelists and servants of God and missionaries during the tribulation time. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that 144,000 are the Jehovah's Witnesses. It is not the church. It is not the Jehovah's Witnesses. It is not Gentiles. It is not a mixed company of Jews and Gentiles. It is not the church age saints. They are exclusively Jewish people. That is the first part. But look at verse 9. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude. It is not talking about the first group of people, because read, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. That means including Jewish people, Jews, and Gentiles. Everyone. So this great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, and all tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, that is the robe of righteousness. They are saved and they are redeemed by the Lord, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the following verses, they are worshiping God because of the great salvation. So this is not the church age. Church is raptured and gone. We are in the midst of tribulation, and people from all tribes and nations, multitudes, it is innumerable crowd beyond human computation and calculation. Nobody can number them. What an amazing picture of the grace of God. So naturally the question comes, how are they saved? And the natural answer in the context is the testimony of the 144,000. And as we read the following verses, they are in their intermediate state, in their spirit state before their resurrection. That means these are dead souls. They have died, probably martyred. Some of them might have come under the judgment. When the whole judgment falls on the world, many would have been killed in that also. But probably most of them are martyrs. And they are, John is seeing them in the vision. Multitudes of people saved and who have already given their lives for the Lord and for their testimony because of their faith. And they are now standing before God in a disembodied state, worshiping God and waiting for their bodily resurrection. The saints who are saved during the tribulation, the people who are saved, they will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ comes back. So they are in a disembodied state before the throne of God, worshiping God and praising God for his glory and ascribing glory and majesty to the Lamb, their Savior. And they are saying salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What a glorious picture is that. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 14, the tribulation time, what did the Lord say? The message, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations. Now, today, many people take that as, that all the missionaries going today to different parts of the world to preach the gospel, that is the fulfillment of Jesus' words in Matthew 24. No, friends, Matthew 24 is all about the tribulation. So the Lord is saying, during the tribulation time, the gospel of the kingdom, that is the king is coming and the kingdom will be established, repent and receive the king. That message will be preached all over the world. By whom? 144,000. As a result, many will believe. And that is the picture about the multitude here. So this is an amazing truth, very encouraging truth, and a very consoling truth. So great a salvation, so marvelous of God's grace. The doctrines of grace, how wonderful it is, how enjoyable it is. And God is always a savior. Even in the midst of judgment, he shows his mercy and kindness. And whoever will come and take the water of life freely, that will be offered to them. And we will look at the other means through which God will save people, God willing, next week. Shall we pray? Loving Father, even though we are studying about the terrible time of distress and tribulation, our hearts are so much warmed with the truth of the gospel and the doctrines of grace and the love and grace of God. Even in the midst of judgment and calamities, God is a God who will save, who will rescue anyone who will turn to him in faith. We pray that as the gospel is preached even now around the world, even during this day, many people may come to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. Pray that thou may keep each one of us as faithful witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lifetime, in all the situations of our life, through our words and through our deeds and through our attitudes and actions and through our philosophy of our life, that we may be witnesses of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for these amazing truths. There are many things beyond our mind, difficult for us to interpret and understand in all its detail. But we thank you for the truths that are clear in the Word of God. And we praise you for that. Bless our study, even in the next 2 weeks. Glorify thy name. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.